I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, how one pro football player who's locked out is spending his time. He turned substitute teacher. That's in just a few minutes. But first, we have a few more minutes of conversation about the situation for women in Afghanistan and how plans for a U.S. troop withdrawal might affect their circumstances. With us in our Washington, D.C. studio is Gail Zemach-Lemann. She's Deputy Director of the Council on Foreign Relations, Women and Foreign Policy Program. She's also the author of a new book about women in Afghanistan. And from NPR's office in Kabul, Afghanistan, we're joined by Samir Hamidi, Country Director of the Afghan Women's Network. Ladies, thanks for staying with us. Gail, you've written about some of the specific gains that women made after the fall of the Taliban regime. That's what your new book is about. Could you just talk a little bit about that, if you would? Set the table for us and tell us what some of the changes have been.
I think you see women really using the most of the international community's presence in Afghanistan to make gains not just for themselves, but for their whole community. So you see women as midwives, as doctors, as teachers, as engineers, all of which, by the way, they were also before the Taliban. And you also meet women who are serving in parliament, women who are working in business. I've interviewed a number of entrepreneurs who are not only really supporting members of their family, but people all around their community. And the thing that they talk about most is that, look, we are really hungry for peace. We want peace, but we don't want it to come at the price of our rights.
Well, what role did U.S. troops play in this? Is it mainly stabilizing the country so that there isn't constant violence? Because there is still violence, as we know. So what role did their presence play in your view, from your reporting?
From my reporting, I mean, what you see is that women have used whatever pockets of stability they have been able to gather. And women are working even in places where there is a fairly active insurgency. Women are sort of going around the obstacles just as they did during the Taliban and just as they will again if they have to.
Samir, I mentioned that you were a part of a group of delegation of Afghan women who came to the U.S. last week to talk to members of Congress and other members of the government. What was your message?
We talked about how the reconciliation process needs to be more inclusive, where Afghan people feel the ownership of the peace process, and they feel that they are part of the process which will end up for the benefit of them. We also discussed on the reintegration part, on how the reintegrees should be considered to come back and join the communities with their families, so that they do not misuse the incentives and go back and join insurgents. We talked about the Bonn Conference, the Bonn II Conference, which is going to be held in the month of December in Germany. We discussed on how important it is for Afghan women to be present there and to have their voices.
Just to clarify for people who aren't sure what we're talking about, the Bonn Conference is planned for December 2011, and that's a conference where the security handover from international forces to the Afghan government will be discussed. So, Gail, do you want to talk a little bit more about that? What are some of the other concrete suggestions that people who are particularly concerned about this issue are making to assure that the status of women does not erode further and hopefully will be enhanced?
Well, and I think usually, Michelle, you have conferences like this, which are men in suits talking to men with guns. And the question is, will women get to be seated around a table that will determine the future of their own country? And I think so often the international community sees women in places like Afghanistan as collateral damage rather than contributors. And what the women who were here last week, which you've just heard excellent discussion about the discussions last week, said was, you know, we want to be seen as contributors. We are your allies in creating a more stable Afghanistan. So why would you leave us out? And I think Hillary Clinton was in Afghanistan last summer and last July. I was covering the Kabul conference. And even the night before, women had no idea whether they were going to get a speaking role at the conference. And it was a combination of Hillary Clinton's pressure, the EU's pressure that actually won them a speaking role at this discussion.
Well, but what do you say to those who make the argument that the preoccupation that Americans have with women's rights is just a reflection of their own values and interests and not really relevant to, you know, the culture of Afghanistan, right? And that's part of letting go. It's part of letting them run their own country.
I say spend time on the ground in Afghanistan. I mean, I just finished, you know, years of research on a book about a young girl whose business supported her family throughout the Taliban years. These were years when the international community had entirely forgotten Afghanistan. And these young women were breadwinners during years when they couldn't even be on the streets. And all these women are asking now is, we are here to help your aims. Why won't you help us basically have a voice?
So their argument is that they should be treated as the important stakeholders they are, like members of the business community, like, you know, a key player in civil society as opposed to just kind of a preoccupation or
a sideshow, right?
Sideshow.
I mean, I think I have always been amazed at how women can be both half the population and a special interest group. And yet it's true. That's how we treat them, particularly in discussions about war, because the truth is that because they're good actors, they are penalized. If they pick up guns, they get a better voice, right? They get talked to. But because they're the ones who make sure the communities are there to go back to, they get shut out. And the question is, what happens now?
And speaking of what happens now, Samira, I'm going to give you the last word. President Hamid Karzai has made it clear that he intends to reach out to Taliban leaders, hoping to come to a peace agreement. It's interesting that there have been statements made by members of the Taliban recently saying that their attitudes were not misogynistic, that their decisions were made to protect women, and that they actually do support women's education and that they do support women's rights. And I just have to ask, how do you respond to that?
Well, I will refer back to the experience we have had with Taliban for the 6 years. Those women who lived in Afghanistan, they suffered the most. And then I would also look at the 10 years of how the situation has been for all Afghans, including women. Letters were sent out to the families and to the communities, warning them to avoid the girls going to schools. You have to see practically. The day when the process will be open, when women like me and many others like me and many others who are working throughout Afghanistan will be able to sit around the negotiation tables and discuss the peace process and discuss the future of Afghanistan and be part of the decisions, that day will be a day that we can talk about the change. But at the moment, it's very difficult to comment about this change.
Finally, before we let you go, and thank you for taking the time. I know it's much later there than it is here. Do you feel optimistic that you and women like you will have a seat at the table?
Well, I do feel optimistic. I am optimistic, in fact, because the women movement that we have at the moment is not that the power that we were 10 years ago. The number of women we have at the government level, at the Afghanistan parliament, is an achievement, and the movement is there. Also, I think we will have our voices. We will carry on our advocacy. And one thing which I would like to mention is that there is a recognition for the work of Afghan women, somehow by the government of Afghanistan now, as well as the international community. And if we move ahead with this recognition, I think we will succeed. The representation of 9 women in the High Peace Council in Kabul is a very good sign for us. They have a very loud voice, and they are doing lots of hard work. So I am optimistic, definitely.
Samira Hamidi is country director of the Afghan Women's Network. She was kind enough to join us from our offices in Kabul, Afghanistan. Gail Zemak-Leman is an author, journalist, and deputy director of the Council on Foreign Relations Women and Foreign Policy Program. She was kind enough to join us in our Washington, D.C. studios. Her new book is called The Dressmaker of Kerkana, 5 Sisters, 1 Remarkable Family, and the Woman Who Risked Everything to Keep Them Safe. Thank you both so much for joining us.
Thank you, Michelle. Pleasure to join you.
Thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to talk. And I look forward for more communication with the people of America, talking about how women's movement are moving ahead in Afghanistan.